get started, get the show on the road. I want to welcome everybody to our regular scheduled Woodway City Council meeting for February 12th. Thank you all so much for being here. Staff and council, thank you all for being here as well. I'll open the meeting now at 5:30 p.m. Our first item on the agenda is our invocation. Is Pastor Lentz here? Hello, sir. This is Pastor Lentz from Trinity Lutheran, and I've invited him to come lead us in our invocation today. So thank you so much for being here, sir.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, really do.
Absolutely.
Just so you know, we do pray for president, vice presidents, senate council, magistrates, governors, senate governors, and city councils regularly in our worship services.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That means a lot to us.
We pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts you pour upon us every day of our lives. Help us to see the many ways you bless us. We ask you to watch over the servants of Woodway, our police and firefighters, EMS, and all who care for us. Protect them from all harm and danger. We ask you to watch over the teachers of Woodway, those who educate and care for our children and youth from preschool through graduate work. May our schools be safe places. We ask you to watch over the elected officials of Woodway, the mayor and city council, that they be blessed with a willingness to serve and be of one heart and mind. And we ask, dear Father, that you watch over the people of Woodway, that we be concerned not only about ourselves, but of our neighbors, who is everyone that calls Woodway home. Bless this meeting and guide the decisions, that you be honored with all the wisdom and intelligence you have given your children. Acknowledging the variety of ways people here approach or do not approach God, I offer this prayer for all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Reverend. Very much appreciated. Thank you for being a great community member as well. All right, our second item is our Pledge of Allegiance. If you're able, please rise as we give pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item number three, this is our public comment time. The City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items that are on the agenda, except for public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The timer for your 3 minutes is up here on the screen behind us. The council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, please state your name and address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your cooperation. At this time, is there anyone to address council? Yes, ma'am. If you'd like to.
You would rather talk during the public hearing for the app to develop and site to develop. We're gonna let you say your comments then, if you prefer. It's your choice.
Okay. Anybody to address council that's not for the public hearing? All right, there being none, I'll close the public comment time and move on to item number four. Item number four starts our presentation. Only we have one presentation tonight. That's our racial profiling report from the Public Safety Department. This is their analysis of racial profiling data for 2023 as required by Article 2.132 of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure. Chief, good afternoon.
Hi, how are y'all?
Thank you for the opportunity, Mayor, Council, to present the 2023 racial profiling analysis. As you previously stated, required by law, the chief executive of the department is required to present this to the governing body and to the public. Next slide, please. The analysis revealed the following. The Woodway Public Safety racial profiling policy is in full compliance with Article 2.132 of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedures. It also showed the Woodway Public Safety Department is in full compliance with state law regarding the racial profiling complaint process and public education about the complaint process. Woodway Public Safety Department collects all mandated data on every traffic stop as required by law. The statistical analysis of the collected data reveals there is no conclusive indication of the occurrence of racial profiling by the department. All traffic stops, arrests, and citations by race and ethnicity are in line with the population makeup of McLennan County. Furthermore, we are in compliance with reporting this to TCOL, which is the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, our governing body, and we received no citizen complaints of alleged racial profiling this past year. Next, please. So I wanted to go over some slides, make them into a bar so they're easy to decipher. Woodway is more of a thorough way than anything else, so we look at the population of the county as opposed to the population of the city. Due to the fact that a lot of our stops are on the highway or on the access roads. So as you can see, it's within 5 or 10% of the population of the county, which is shown in green. Next slide, please. We look at the percentage of individuals searched by race or ethnicity. As you can see, its majority is white, about 42-43%, followed by African American and Hispanic. Next slide, please. Now, these are pretty much the percentages of, a lot of these are percentages of the bar graph, but we'll go over them as well. As far as traffic stops are concerned, 58% were male, 41% were female. The race or ethnicity is the bar graph in percentage right there. And also race or ethnicity known prior to stop, 98.81 were no, and 1.19% were yes. And that yes is majority when individuals call 911, they say, Hispanic female is driving recklessly, driving a blue Ford F-150. The officer knows that information. The officer is looking for that vehicle and the individual matching that description. So that's every now and then we'll get a call like that, which signifies the 71 of the 59-55. Next slide, please. So a reason for our stops over this past year, and this is pretty normal every year, traffic violations like registration stickers, brake lights, things like that. That's 46% of the reason for those 5,955 stops. 44% is moving traffic violations, speed, things like that. And then violation of law other than traffic, and then pre-existing knowledge like a warrant. Violation of law other than traffic could be no insurance, something like that. It's not necessarily traffic violation, but it's still against the law. So location of our stops, 54.46% city streets, followed closely by highways, as would be expected with our city makeup. Next, please. All right, so search conducted, about 90%, there was no search conducted during our traffic stops, about 9.77%. There was a search conducted when the traffic stop was initiated. And of those 582 searches, 4.9% was probable cause, meaning the officer smelled the odor of marijuana, et cetera. 2.07 was search incident to arrest. When an officer conducts a arrest, he looks in the vehicle. He doesn't just hand off the vehicle to the next person who shows up to make sure there's nobody in the trunk. You know, we just look around just to make sure we're not going to wind up on the news for being apathetic and not paying attention. Probable cause was 4.9%, and that's, I mean, I already talked about that. Consent was 2.42%, and that's individuals giving us consent, obviously, to look inside their vehicle. Plain view is 0.9%. That still baffles me. But sometimes the officer walks up there, and it's just sitting there, and that's that 0.9% of evidence in plain sight. Contraband discovered, of those 582 searches, it's about half and half if contraband's actually discovered within the vehicle. Next slide, please. So description of contraband, we look at what is found when contraband is located, and we're looking at drugs, paraphernalia, alcohol is next, weapons after that, 17 other, those are rare. The other could be a stash, unfortunately, of child pornography or something like that during a search that's located that can be considered as other. And then stolen property, we do pull people over and we run some guns and we find out that that gun is stolen, and that would entail those stolen property locations. Result of our stops, if you add up the warnings, whether verbal, written, or written warning and arrest, we give about 75-ish, 74% of our stops result in warnings. Our officers like to have conversations and try to impact behavior with a conversation, and usually impacting behavior is not done through a citation, it's due through a buy-in from our community, and that's usually just a conversation about why you need to slow down. And 4.9% end in arrests. And you can see the statistics right there. Next slide, please. So our arrests are based on violations of the penal code and outstanding warrants. Those are pretty much the majority. Violation of penal code, name it, anything that is illegal. Outstanding warrants could be Woodway warrants, could be Waco warrants, could be TCIC warrants, which is Texas state warrants, could be NCIC, which is national warrants. That's just a umbrella term for any kind of warrant you can think of. Was physical force resulting in bodily injury used during the stop? So as you can see down there, 0.00016% of the 559-55 total traffic stops resulted in bodily injury, which is one out of 559-54. Our officers are trained in de-escalation. Our officers are trained in interacting with deaf drivers. Our officers are trained with interacting with individuals who are nonverbal, individuals who are elderly, in order to give them every tool they have to de-escalate a situation, because sometimes things occur because of misunderstandings, not necessarily the individual is hostile. But there's always one. Yep. Here it is. Here it is. Ah. What are we going to do? So fortunately, it was minor injuries. Didn't really cause any serious injuries. So next slide. I can take any questions from the council or community or anything like that.
I just saw something that was a little odd. Mm-hmm. It said written warning and arrest. How do you give them a warning and arrest?
So if a traffic stop occurs for like speed, someone's going 45 in a 30, and they have a methamphetamines, it's kind of putting salt in the wound, give them a ticket for speed when you're arresting them for a felony. So they get a written warning for the traffic violation, which is a Class C misdemeanor, and they get a felony on their record.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, that's what that is.
Okay.
Just have to say, it sure looks like you've got some great protocols in place to affect this standard of operation.
Appreciate
just
that,
phenomenal.
Sir. We have a great team. We really do. We have great officers. They're gems, and y'all take care of them, so I appreciate that.
We brag on you a lot.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
I am impressed or surprised by the number of written warnings that are given. That's the largest action that you take.
Yeah. And people are surprised by that in Woodway. Someone's like, don't speed through Woodway. We're not that bad.
That's the reputation.
We're kind of nice, you know?
At one time, though, back in the 70s and 80s.
That's true.
It was not known that way.
That's true. Woodway was a place you didn't speed because you were going to get a citation.
Or even drive through.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Chief? All right, Chief, thank you so much. Great job. Really appreciate it. Okay, moving on to our public hearings and related action section. Item 5A is the public hearing on an application to develop and site development plan in a planned district, medical office, lot 1, block 1, I Waco Realty Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 8012 Woodway Drive. At this time, I'll open the public hearing. It is 5:43 p.m. And is there anybody to speak in favor of this application to develop? Yes, ma'am, if you'll approach the podium.
You're not in favor.
Okay. Anybody speak in favor? All right. Is there anybody to speak in opposition?
There you go.
All right. Do you want to say something to us?
Yes.
Okay, come on up to the podium here. And if you could just state your name, please, for the record, we'd appreciate it.
My name is Roxanne Klepper. I live at 8100 Old McGregor Road in Woodway. And I thank you for having me here and allowing to speak for a few minutes. I'm not so much opposed to what is happening. I want to be a really good neighbor. Dr. Wolfson so far has been a really good neighbor. I feel like What I'm a little bit concerned about are three things. One is the erosion that has been happening to our property and is next to our garage. I mentioned it at the last meeting. And one of the things that was stated is that, well, that erosion has been ongoing. Excuse me. That is true. However, when the erosion really had started is when that land was starting to be cleared away prior to Dr. Rolfson. And I came to the city and I said, this is a really big concern of ours. And I was told that there was nothing that could be done at the time because no permits were pulled. And so no silt barrier or anything was required at the time. That was the rules for Woodway, much different than when I lived in Austin and what needed to be done for erosion. So I really want to put that on record because I feel like if I don't and then something happens where the amount of runoff isn't controlled and then my property and my garage falls into the creek, then I need some backup support on what is going to be next. So that's the first thing. The second thing is when we met last year to approve the plans and to approve it was all residential and the 50 some people came and they had pushback because they didn't want the whole thing to be commercial. So we agreed to do 80% of it to be commercial based on plans that were submitted at that time and the understanding that trees were not going to be removed any more than already what was. So it's my understanding that possibly a parking lot will be erected and more trees will be removed because the complete plans have been changed. And in that back section, as is right now, is where the garbage dumpster is going to be. And our house sits up taller. We have a big pergola. We have big pool and lower area and upper area that we spend a lot of time in the backyard. And it faces right there. It just faces right there. So I'm hoping that the garbage dumpster is not going to be on a residential side, that hopefully it can be on a non-residential side. So I ask of that. And then the last thing is, it talked about, the city had talked about, or maybe it was the architect, I'm not sure, about there was a 100-year floodplain and that there wasn't any flooding, but there is massive flooding that comes on probably a good third of our property, and we can't put anything there. We can't put a playset. We can't put anything because there's, you know, deep water on that whole area. So I just want to make sure that that is understood, that there is flooding on there. And also, again, if there is any, just one more drop of runoff, because what's going to happen when 84 starts being built, or expanded upon, that's just going to be even that much more. And if you go on 84 or on Old McGregor Road right now, you can see how there's the standing water on the other side of the street, and there's just, it's nasty, the amount of mosquitoes and everything that happens. So these are just my concerns that I would really like to make public in front of everyone so that, again, if there's something that happens, there's record of it. And there wasn't, why didn't you come and say something before? So that's pretty much it.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Was your third point the standing water?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Just the flooding, that is, the amount of water that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to be sure I captured all that. Thank you. Anybody else to speak on this topic? Okay. There being none, I will close the public hearing for item 5A. Thank you very much. Item 5B is discussion and consider action on the application to develop in a planned district medical office, Lot 1, Block 1, I Waco Realty Addition to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 8012 Woodway Drive. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments, please.
Just a few comments, and they'll go for item C also, the site to develop. Ms. Barkley, can we go to slide 17 just so they'll be familiar with the property? The property outlined in green is the property that you're considering with the application to develop and the site to develop. We also have a guest here for the property to the left of that, which is a dental office. And then Ms. Klepper's property, it would be that triangle sort of track to the back of the green box. Not directly behind it, but a little bit to your left of that. That's Ms. Klepper's property. Right there along the green line coming off of Highway 84 is the main drainage for those properties, as well as TxDOT's, correct? It's TxDOT's drainage for coming off of 84 for that area also. We did a site visit. I'll ask Mr. Nihilet to come up here and talk a little bit about the site visit. But the purpose of the site visit was to meet with the dental office owner and Ms. Klepper. Right now, the drawings submitted meet the minimum requirements of the ordinance. But we did want to do a site visit. So when Mitch continues to work on this, he'll have an awareness. The planning and zoning had the first public hearing on this January 23rd and approved and recommends approval for y'all, both the site visit, site development, and the application to develop. The application itself is on page 13 in your agenda. On page 20 are the property owners notified in the surrounding areas, and the plans begin on page 21. Y'all want Adam to add anything? He's got a few comments. If you want to just make them from there, Adam, or come up here.
Thank you, sir, and good evening, Mayor and Council. Yes, there won't be too much more than what the city manager already offered up, but after the last planning and zoning meeting that I was in attendance at, and a couple of other council members were as well, we heard the concerns of Dr. Miller and Mrs. Klepper, and so we took it upon ourselves to go out and have an on-site visit, kind of see, because everything, you know, things can be different on paper, so we wanted to get out on site, on scene, and, you know, see if we could offer anything to be good neighbors. And they explained how the drainage has affected their property. And then I learned from Mitch about the TxDOT runoff. That's where it comes from. Actually, that area is in a low spot. And both of the tracks on both sides of it, it feeds down. But to her point, the highway expansion won't make it any better. But by the topography and their assessments, they don't deem that the runoff is really affected from the proposed development site. It is more of the TxDOT piece. But to make sure going forward, we're a good neighbor and we're in communication. We stay in communication with you, Ms. Klepper, and Dr. Miller. And I'm sorry, the other doctor's here, and I didn't put his name in the notes, but he was out there with us. And we had a long, good visit. And we've informed them about the one-stop shop and just an open line of dialogue and communication. So if there is a hang-up or something that changes, she mentioned, since Plan 1 was the plan that was seen last year and it somehow deviated from that original version. However, it still meets all the marks of the ordinance, and it hasn't violated anything yet. So I believe you are also in touch with the developer, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So we'll just continue to monitor it as it moves forward and work together and go from there.
Mr. Nihilet, did you ask the applicant, or did you tell the applicant the concerns that Ms. Klepper has?
About the drainage or
the erosion and the dumpster and the
No, sir, I have not.
Okay.
Do we have a representative from iWaco tonight?
I don't see Dr. Rolfson here or an engineer or architect representing his
Were they at the P&Z meeting the previous?
No, an engineer was, but not the doctor.
The reason I'm asking is I'm just curious if he's aware
Sorry.
Of some of these issues and if he, you know, has a plan or if he stated if he has. I know he meets the minimum and we can't make him do anything because he's already met the requirements, but I'm just curious if he's aware of the some of the issues that his neighbors have.
Yes, sir. Well, there's going to be another process as this continues to move forward, so we'll somebody can reach out to him. If not myself, okay. Mitch can.
I hope he can be here at the next one because, you know, if Ms. Klepper or somebody else just wants to provide those concerns, it'd be a good place for him to hear it.
Yes, sir.
The engineer did speak about that quite a bit, and I believe, if I remember correctly, he said there was going to be a retention pool. Am I correct on this? Seems like I remember him saying something about it that was going to benefit it some, but of course the problem is what's that water going to do farther down? And I'm thinking that the retention pond is supposed to slow it down, make it some better. But unfortunately, it sounds like the lots, no matter what, if you develop or don't develop, is going to be an issue back there.
Yeah, that is a tricky area, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the engineer that spec'd that project, they've devised some way to create the retention pond underground, under the parking area, I guess because it had to meet certain parking requirements as well based on the square footage and lot size and setbacks, et cetera.
I have a question about the dumpster. It has to be in the back of the building. Per ordinance, or
it has to be behind the building in some fashion. But I mean,
on the dumpster, I see here it does have a surround.
It'll be screened.
Yeah. So and it looks like it's a fairly attractive one. It seems like I remember it's a masonry one.
If you look at Ms. Klepper's land, I'm guessing you're like 40 feet up higher. Is that an easy statement to make without stretching?
Stretching's so really
it doesn't matter how high the screen is. We've got a standard on the screen, and he's going to meet that, but she's going to be looking down on it, and there's the ordinance is what it is.
Yeah, it looks like it's a masonry surround for that. So,
yeah.
But it's difficult.
She's still going to be able to see it.
Yeah, looking down through it. I understand.
Unless he puts some type of a canopy over it.
That would be nice if we can ask him.
Then that might make it problematic for them to use a roll-off truck to pull it out.
The trash company won't like that.
That's what I was going to say. It's got to be pretty high.
But we don't require it.
That's what I said. If he agreed to do something.
Yeah. It would just have to be like him being a good neighbor to do it.
I jumped.
Well, he hit on it, but I was just going to say that the detention pond is, and Councilman Russell's right, at the meeting they talked about it. If they are proposing it's a rather robust detention system in an underground park, with the parkland built over, you just don't see that very often because land's so expensive relatively cheap in the area, but that's what they're proposing in this particular.
There's not too many remedies for water, is there? It's a situation like this.
I mean, detention is the standard.
The only remedy we have?
That's pretty much it. You can, as you develop that land, you're going to increase runoff and the detention pond will detain it and release it. They've designed the pond to release it the same amount that it would be running off currently. Mm-hmm. And that's standard design for detention ponds.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way, and of course this is way out, is there any way if in a flooding situation it could go into the sewage system, or would that be not wise?
The sewer system in that area is then you're paying to treat stormwater, which we don't want to do.
True.
And typically now, and most of the time, the sewer plants don't want that infiltration in the system because it will overwhelm the plant downstream.
So we don't have any other good solutions to treat a flooding situation and a runoff like this.
That's correct.
Hmm?
Yeah, you're correct. Okay. I would say.
I will say on the second page of their notes, well, the second page of their plans is a complete notes page. And under the erosion control notes on number 5, just so you know, it says, if the erosion control plan as approved cannot control erosion and offsite sedimentation from the project, then the erosion control plan will be required to be revised and or additional erosion control devices will be required on site. So you always have that to go back on as an accountability source. So that's in the plans. Yeah.
And I would just say that's our standard process for construction of new developments, and we talked about it with the neighbors. Is, you know, if they see something, our inspector will be doing checks on that as he does his inspections as the project proceeds. But we always encourage the neighbors, if they see something, reach out to us. We'll send the inspector out if there's a violation that we can afford.
Well, if we can't, and it's more of a state TCQ violation, we notify them and they will come out and do it. We've dealt with that in the past, but that's something that we do have to report on.
What was your question?
Yeah, please, come on in.
Mayor, you can reopen the public hearing.
I'll reopen the public hearing at 6 o'clock. Go ahead, sir. Name, please.
Yep, Austin Green. I work at the dental office and part owner of the dental office. You know, the way I see it, he bought the land, and it's something that he owns it. He is able to do kind of what he pleases with it. Donna Miller built her building in 2010. And so kind of, you know, the reason we're here is twofold, right? The first one is we love the area we're at. It's beautiful. It's got lots of trees. We've got running water. You know, our patients love it. Residents love it. And so we want to preserve that. That's, you know, goal number one. The second thing is we're excited to welcome a new neighbor. I have met Dr. Rolfson. He's a great guy. I'm excited that he's going to be next to us. When Donna Miller built her office in 2010, she went through a similar plan as this, right? And it just wasn't enough. There was lots of flooding issues. There was lots of leaking issues. And so we just want to be a good neighbor and inform him that when his builders, engineers, architects are looking at it, they might want to go above and beyond what they think is minimally necessary, because that's kind of where we were 10 to 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so some of the side effects is if they don't go above, if they just go above the minimum, then it's going to affect the people around them. And so we want it to benefit us and to benefit him. So sure. That's just kind of our goals while we're here. So
that's understood. And you have a relationship with him, so you can share that with him.
Right. Yeah.
We can only enforce the ordinance. Thank you.
I also will say that I was looking at the number of trees that are being kept, and they're adding quite a few trees, but then they also are keeping, they have like different ranges, and it looks like there's 10 in one range that they're keeping, 13 in another range that they're keeping, and 12 in another that they're keeping. So they are in.
Sorry, story. I need to close the public hearing.
Oh, sorry.
Closing at 6:03. Please continue. So sorry.
No, you're
good. I didn't close it earlier. My bad.
You're good. Anyway, so they are keeping some, and it does look like I would say that Woodway has pretty high standards for our landscaping requirements, and we've met those. I hope that is helpful, but I do agree with wanting to make sure that they are aware of these items. So, yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? All right, there being none, Planning and Zoning has approved this item already at their P&Z meeting, so I'll entertain a motion on item B.
I move that we accept the application to develop.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item C is discussion and consider action on site development plan and a plan district, medical office, lot 1, block 1, iWaco Realty addition to the city of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, located at 8012 Woodway Drive. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Any further comments, Mr. Manager?
No additional comments. Same.
Any questions, counsel? Comments?
I wish that we had a representative from their office here.
Yeah, and I apologize. I said earlier that there'd be another opportunity, but there's not going to be another. This is it.
I just mean in general. I wish that
the engineer for that group was at the planning and zoning, and he did go through.
He heard it all
pretty detailed about the water issue. It's just there's so many variables, and there's already issues with the water on that land, and when you concrete it, it could be more. So I don't know what the answer is.
Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion on item C, please. 5C.
I recommend that council approve the request for the site development plan as recommended through the P&Z.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. Okay. Thank you all. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, or you're free to leave. So just want to let you know you have that option. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for coming for the site visit, too. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Item number six is discussion and consider action on entering into an agreement with Hicks Ray Associates to provide professional services by assisting the City of Woodway in acquiring federal grants for public works projects in an amount not to exceed $42,000 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents therewith. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, your comments on number six, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is an agenda item that was postponed during the last council meeting. We were discussing a grant writers or grant consulting work from Mr. Tom Ray, who's here, and his partner, Mr. Hicks, with Hicks Ray Associates for services in the amount of $42,000 to try to secure funds from Congressman Pete Sessions' office as they are addressed as congressional community-directed funding opportunities. This was on the conversation that I had with Mr. Ray a little over a year ago on some funding that came to the Lacunning County area. And so you asked to have him present to have a discussion with him, and I invited Mr. Ray here tonight. Did you want to say a few words?
I would be
first,
happy to.
I know you sent a pretty little slide over.
I do have some slides to kind of give you some background on Hicks Ray and what we do. I think it's kind of new to the council, this type of endeavor. And I want to be sure and thoroughly explain what we do. And then if you have any questions, to be able to answer those. Mr. May, I have some handouts.
Okay, sir, we'll get those.
I'll get them out for you, John.
These are the handouts that are going to be up on the screen as well.
Thank you.
Let's start with who Hicks Ray Associates is. What we do is we provide federal advocacy services for our public clients. We do help with grant applications. We help with community-funded projects. We help with permitting. Fred and I have a long history. We've been a partnership since 2001. So Fred and I have worked together. Fred has a PhD in history, Dr. Advent, and I'm an engineer, so I kind of understand some of the things Mitch talks about. Both of those come in handy when you're dealing with issues on the Hill, and we deal with permitting as well as federal permitting, primarily almost exclusively in the environmental side, related to the Clean Water Act, the EPA, et cetera. We worked on and helped the North Texas Municipal Water District up in the Dallas, East Dallas area with their permitting, it's called a 404 permit for Lower Bodock Reservoir, which they were successful in getting. So those are the type of projects that we work on. And we've been successful and worked with our members of Congress in securing federal funding for projects. All of that federal funding has been, I'm very confident and good with all of the requests that we have made. I think each one of them over that 20 years has been for a good cause and a needed project. Let's see, what else? We work with the US EPA, the Army Corps of Engineers. We very strong relationship with the Corps of Engineers. We work at Lake Waco quite a bit. We work with the City of Waco on some of their Corps of Engineer issues they have at Lake Waco. We work with the Bureau of Reclamation, which is doing more work in Texas, thankfully, than it has in the past. Texas is actually one of the western states that is a reclamation state, so there is that opportunity to look at that type of funding. And we've done that, and I'll just mention one real quick for McLennan County. I work for McLennan County. We secured two Bureau of Reclamation, they're called Water Smart Grants, and those were to help the county develop a water conservation plan, a extended use plan for how to better use the available water that is in the county, to put a conjunctive use type plan together, groundwater and surface water. And we also looked at, and Mitch was involved in a lot of this, we looked at the eastern part of the county where there is, in the groundwater in those areas, arsenic contamination. And the level of, it's called the maximum contamination level, the MCL, that you can have for arsenic was lowered in 2001 from 100 to 10 parts per million. And so many of our systems, almost all overnight, were in non-compliance. Not to a severe degree. Most of the rural systems in the eastern part of the county, maybe 3 or 4 milligrams per liter over that standard. So we're working on projects to try to get those small rural systems, don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of customers. We're trying to find ways to help them deal with that problem. Okay, let's see. In these, we're gonna have the next slide or two. Let's see. The next slide should show just an overview of what we do. We work in Central Texas a lot. We do have clients, by the way, Fred, particularly over in California. We work in the Florida Keys. I don't so much, but Fred does. We work for Gulf Coast Water Authority, a very strong client of ours, North Texas. We mentioned Tarrant Regional. Those are big water projects, big water agencies. I'm also very much involved with water associations, past chair of National Water Resources Association, been a longtime member of Texas Water Conservation Association, and chaired their Federal Affairs Committee at that level. And then click it again. There we go. So one point I do need to emphasize is that we do every phase of a federal partnership. So when we work with Woodway, we'll do initial consultations. We've had some of those discussions. I had those with Dr. Aubrey and Mitch. But we'll continue those as we go into the next congressional session. We help guide, manage, and complete the appropriations project process. Each of these appropriation subcommittees have specific requirements and deadlines, and you've got to keep up with those, which means you have to have good communication with Mr. Sessions' office primarily, and then you have to be able to communicate and get that information from the city that we need to to Mr. Sessions so that his appropriation staff can submit that to the appropriate subcommittee. So that's a process that goes on. We went through this process in the last Congress, and Woodway was able to secure a commitment for a FY24 community-funded project of $1 million. It's for some work on Highway 84. Just to point out that we do that part of the process. That's what makes a federal advocate important. That's what makes them distinct, if you will, from just a regular grant writer. You've got to go through the process of working with your member, the member staff, and importantly, with the committee, the Appropriations Committee. Let's see what's on the next slide. I'm kind of out of order here. Oh, I was going to report on where we are with your City of Woodway's community project funding. It's $1 million. Next little bullet will show the status. Next bullet. It was in the Interior and Environment Appropriations Bill in FY24. There's the House number. It was passed by the subcommittee, the entire Interior and Environment Subcommittee. That was in November of last year. And then I think those dates are reversed. The full committee approved it in November. The subcommittee approved it in July. It was actually passed by the full House of Representatives in November as well, same day it passed the committee. And then there was a continuing resolution. So that's where that funding appropriation for Woodway now stands. It's part of that CR, continuing resolution, that's in effect until March the 8th. Okay, and we'll see where that goes. Eventually, there's going to be an appropriations bill. That appropriations bill, when it comes out, then they'll go into the process of bringing down that grant. It comes through EPA. It comes through EPA as in a form of a grant. It's known as a state and tribal assistance grant. I'm familiar with those. We've done those several times. We're doing several with the City of Waco right now. Let's see what's on the next slide. Okay, so we're going to help finish out that FY24 funding process. Next slide. Here it is in writing, if you will. This is out of the committee. This shows that star is on Woodway's project. And again, Mr. Sessions has been extremely helpful in securing this appropriation. Next slide. Go ahead. All right, we've got the next year, the FY25, second session of the 118th Congress coming up. In fact, they're in it now, and the appropriations project process is about to begin. Probably next month, we'll need to submit any requests the city wants to have looked at by the Appropriations Committee. Next point. We anticipate same funding levels as the previous session. Next point. And we have advised Mr. Sessions' staff that more than likely, we do not speak for the client, okay? Very important principle that we've always had for these 20 years. We let Woodway talk for Woodway, and any of our clients talk. Now, we advise on what would be a good thing to say to support what you want to get done. That's where we come have some importance. But we have told Mr. Sessions and his staff here in Waco, that the City of Woodway appears to be very interested in, and we want to be ready. We need to know the deadlines so we can get ready, that kind of thing. Let's see what's next. All right, so primary assistance that we do, again, the federal process, and then securing as well as taking down the loan, number of secondary things that we do, and you hit the next slide, or there we go. We do provide information on federal regulations, and we'll work with Mitch on terms of any of those kind of concerns. We help build the districts, or your position with Congressman Sessions and his staff. And should you need it, we can help you if you want to go to Washington, D.C. and see for yourself. We can help set up those meetings and appointments. I think that may be the last slide, yes. Are there any questions?
A lot of information there. I'm sure we do have questions. So just hang on one second.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm going to let council ask any questions, but I guess for me, it sounds like you've already done work for us before. You worked on the 84 project, and you secured us $1 million.
Well, I helped with that. It's really because of my relationship.
You were a part of that.
I was a part of that, yes.
Okay.
And I helped move that through the process, Mayor. And a lot of that I did because I've worked with Mitch, knew Mitch, wanted him to be aware that that opportunity was out there. Because the opportunity, the window opens for a while, and then it'll close. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that Mitch knew about it. Then he worked with the city manager, and we got the all of the paperwork that's required, all the support letters, and we thank you for those. And it was
helpful for me to understand the difference between a grant writer, a regular grant writer, and the federal side, which is what your specialty is. So.
Right. Now, we will alert the city to federal grants. There are a number of those that you might be interested. There's a COPS grant that many cities, communities of this size, and we can funnel that information to you and help you with the process, help you with Mr. Sessions can help with that. So we can do that, but we don't typically write grants. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Got it.
What is your expected dollar amount of grants for fiscal year 2025?
We don't know for certain, obviously. I think we can expect, and we've asked Sessions staff about this, they expect the same type of funding levels as FY24.
So $1 million?
$1 million for that type of grant. Now, if we look at a street project, that's in a different appropriation subcommittee. That's in the FUD bill, the Transportation Housing Urban Development bill. And those dollar amounts for community projects were much higher last session than they were in the interior bill. So you could take that $1 million for a street project and probably double it, triple it.
If you had to guess, maybe you know this figure already, for all those appropriations that you attempt to get for your clients, what percentage do you fulfill 100%?
Let me understand the question. Now, we have certainly made requests and made more requests than we've had fulfilled, if you know, for sure. But
is there a percentage there that you
we're going to
feel
80%,
comfortable with?
Oh, yeah. 90%?
Yeah, we're dealing not with applications, we're dealing with appropriation requests. So when we go into it, we're going to have enough information to know how many of the members' requests that he or she can satisfy, okay? So if I go into Mr. Sessions' office and say, I need 10 projects funded, I'm not going to get 10 projects funded. I'm going to get one maybe. Okay? That's the way it works.
Sure.
But let me say, the positive part of that is we've been able to stack some of those. For the city of Waco, we have an FY 23, 24, and 25 appropriation all through the interior, and those are going to be stacked together to give them a significant funding amount to work on a reuse project.
Would you say that your fees represent anywhere from 5 to 10% of the expected?
No, of the funded amounts? Mm-hmm. Oh, I think there'd be a lot less than that, but I haven't calculated that. But, you know, this $1 million compared to, I think our retainer's just 42, over 40.
42,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the ballpark.
Okay. I want to make sure I understand it correctly. We'll be paying out $42,000 to get your service. We're shooting for $1 million. And yep. I think the question that we were trying to get to is, what is the chances of getting that $1 million? I mean, are we looking at 80%, 90%, yeah. Or are we looking at 10%?
Well, if you're asking me for $1 million, I think that the chances of getting that are pretty good. They're probably in that 80% range. If you're asking for $4 or $5 million, but you're allowing us to work over in another subcommittee, okay, the transportation subcommittee, then we have a pretty good chance as well. So, you know, I can't guarantee anything, but I think the chances, I like the 80% number for an interior appropriation for FY25. I think that can be done. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're seeing come up. But I don't want to stop there. I want to go into, and I think Mitch is and John want to look at, you know, what can we do with street projects, some of those things. Yeah. And there is some significant community-funded project money available in the transportation subcommittee.
FY24 was streets?
FY24 was interior.
Interior.
No, it was not streets. Okay. We didn't put anything in for streets. Kind of wish we had, Mayor, but we didn't.
Yeah.
But let's don't make that mistake again. Let's go into do that in the transportation, okay. Housing, urban development.
Now, relative to your client history, do you feel that you have accomplished approximately 80% success?
Yeah. On funding? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Okay. And let me say this. I mentioned early on, we worked in other areas, primarily permitting and liaison with federal regulators, that kind of thing. I think our success rate at doing that has been very good. In fact, over 20 years, we've had, you know, many, many clients, and I would offer up any of them. I think they all have been satisfied to very pleased with our services. So I'm very proud of the work we've been able to do for them.
I can imagine that our citizens would not want us to do too much gambling. And we're looking at a 4 out of 5 chance of getting more than what we're investing. Now, just by chance, if we get the 1 out of 5 chance that we don't, some of that fee can go into another project that possibly we can win on that, or, I mean, it's...
Well, what I expect, Councilman, is that we will submit for more than one project,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're going to have more of a chance anyway, okay. to meet that $1 million. I think we will be able to secure that. I feel pretty confident in that, you know, as what I'm hearing from the Congress now. Now, you know, it's Congress, so, and it's this Congress, and you have to be real with this, that it could change on a dime. Fred and I could have to come back with you next week and say, they just shut everything down. If I mention that continuing resolution to March the 8th, on March the 8th, if they don't continue the continuing resolution or pass the appropriations bill, the federal government shuts down. Mm-hmm. And that shuts down your FY24 appropriation. Okay? Oh. That's the reality of what we're dealing with. So there are risks.
Yes. Well, there are November risks. Comes up, who knows what can happen
right.
in November. And that's kind of my concern. And I'd like to be able to tell the constituents that if we spend this $42,000, yes, we're shooting for $1 million, but we should be able to at least get our $42,000 value out somewhere, you know, and it might be just the smallest grant you can imagine, but something that will come back to it.
Councilman, I feel pretty confident in that. Now, if here's the other thing, if this is not $42,000 that you're going to hand me tonight.
It's over time period.
It's a monthly, yes. Monthly retainer.
Sure. Okay?
And in that retainer, it says we can stop this at any point.
Sure.
Okay. And if Congress does something crazy, we may want to stop.
Sure.
I don't want to take the city of Woodway's money for something that isn't going to work.
Right.
And we have my pledge to that. How about that, Mayor?
Thank you. No, we appreciate that very much. I think our main question was we wanted to make sure that the money was going to good use. And no offense to your company. You've done wonderful things. It's just a question that we had to make
absolutely.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. Due diligence. I understand
that it was going
totally.
A good cause.
I was wondering, the initial letter suggested that we submit requests by October or November. Are we doing okay on time if we move forward?
They haven't. We have. Like I said, we have informed Sessions' office that there is an interest. Okay. We haven't gone any further than that. Okay. We have not had any deadlines requirements come out of the committees. There is. They will have it's called a members day where the members go in and say, here's what our requests are. Mm-hmm. Those all funnel through the Appropriations Committee chair. That hasn't taken place yet.
Okay.
We'll keep our eye on that and be ready to submit. You don't miss those kind of deadlines.
Right. Okay.
And just for clarifications for the citizens, it looks like it's a $3,500 a month retainer fee. That we're dealing
I believe that's right. Yes, yes,
Councilman.
Also, a point of clarification, and maybe Mr. City Manager could help answer this for me. I noticed that the term was from the 1st of December of last year to the 1st of December of this year. Is that going to be modified?
It'd be modified. It was just the skipping of the council meetings in December. This didn't all come back. In to the city attorney and approved and get on the agenda until the last one.
Okay.
So, now we need to go through the end of next year. That's the end of the Congress.
All right. Any other questions?
I think we're good.
It's Dr. Hicks, right?
I wish.
Oh, you're Tom. I'm sorry.
I'm Tom Ray.
So sorry.
But I'm the engineer.
Okay.
Mayor.
Thank you. There's two names on your business card.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ray. I think that's all we have for you.
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
For a motion?
I'm ready for a motion.
I make a motion that we enter into an agreement with Hicks Ray Associates to provide professional services by assisting the City of Woodway in acquiring federal grants for public work projects in an amount not to exceed $42,000 and authorizing the city manager to execute all documents in connection therewith.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you all. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Mr. Ray.
Thank you, Council. John, thank you. And our card is on there, so.
Yes.
That's open
with
to
both
you
names.
As well.
Both
of
them. Got it.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Take care, sir.
Well, all right. We're on item 7A here, or the consent agenda, 7A through D. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any other city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. Manager, any comments on the consent agenda?
I will start with 7B. That is to call for the general city election, which will be held Saturday, May 4th. Mm-hmm. It will be to fill place one seat for Ward 2 and place one seat for Ward 3, which are Story Cook, Ward 2, and Gail Avant, Ward 3. We will also proceed, as in the past, and contract with the county to provide services and support during this. The early voting is on page 62. The early voting locations will be McLennan County Elections Office, Robinson Community Center, the Waco Multipurpose Community Center, the West Waco Library, and the Hewitt City Hall. Early voting dates will be April 22nd through March 30th. And the May 4th day of election sites are on your agenda packet on page 68. The next item is we have Ms. Burns in here. She is renewing her application for special use permit that y'all issued in 2022 to her home, 908 Sleepy Hollow, for the use of professional photography and indoor photo shoots. Her application is on your page 70. Property owners were notified, and none, to my knowledge, called to support or oppose the renewal of the application or renewal. Next item is awarding the COVID issue ARPA funds, which is zero match to the city, which was bid number 23-09 for the 12-inch water line improvements on Ritchie Road, Old McGregor, and Oak Ridge Road to what we know locally as H&B Contractors for $943,581. This had a budget of approximately $2 million of ARPA funds. We have to have everything under contract, Mitch.
End of the year.
So the good news is, Mitch will bring back to you another project or projects to spend down the remaining roughly $1 million. That won't be all for project costs. That'll be some engineering cost, depending on what project is picked. Our lowest bidder, we received six bids. Our lowest bidder was Rangeline Utility, but they found a calculation error and withdrew their bid. And that pushed us up to H&B Contractors. What Mitch will bring to you are pre-approved project under the ARPA funds, and pre-approved projects are water, sewer, or broadband projects. Those are the end of my comments.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Manager. All right. Council, you have the consent agenda in front of you. Are there any items that you would like pulled off for separate discussion?
I'd like to pull item D, as in David, off for separate discussion.
All right, we're pulling item 7D. Anyone else? Okay, there being none, I will entertain a motion for approval of items 7A, B, and C.
I'll make a motion to approve 7A, B, and C.
It's been moved for A, B, and C.
I'll second that.
It's been seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. Aye. The consent agenda 7A, 7B, and 7C is approved. Thank you all very much. All right, going to item 7D. This is discussion and consider action to award a contract in response to 23-09 for a 12-inch waterline improvements at Ritchie Road, Old McGregor Road, and Oak Ridge Road to Casparian Underground, LLC, doing business as H&B Contractors, the lowest responsible bidder, in an amount not to exceed $943,581.60, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Seconded. Thank you. Mr. Russell.
I was just wanting to find out how long is this pipe? It's 12 inches. Would it go? Is it the one on the other side of 84? Is that correct?
So it will start at 84 right there by the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes down Ritchie Road to Old McGregor Road, turns down Old McGregor Road, and goes to Oak Ridge, which is the first city street.
Okay.
And then it turns in there, and it runs into the Oak Ridge neighborhood, and it ties into an existing 12-inch line at Oak Ridge.
Okay. So, and does this include the
paving of the road or anything
yes.
like that. So it's turnkey on everything.
Yes. They will trench the road, open trench the line, and then repair the road as they go.
What is the size of the line on the other side of Oak Ridge? Is it also 12 inch?
So it's the existing line we're replacing is a combination of 6 and 8 inch line, but the new line is 12. We're tying a 12 inch line at 84 and a 12 inch line at Oak Ridge.
So in other words, for that area of town, it just goes through that area, correct?
Correct.
Another pipeline that goes through that area?
There's an existing 12 inch line that comes out of the plant, which is down by Westview Nursery.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out through the neighborhood and it terminates there at Oak Ridge Drive, right by the church property, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where we're tying into. And then you'll go up Oak Ridge Drive to Old McGregor Road and loop it around.
Okay. Thanks. That's what I know.
All good?
All good.
Yeah. All right. I'll entertain a motion on item 7D, please.
I'll make a motion to approve 7D.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. That's it for the consent agenda. All right, moving into our executive session. Mr. Counselor, do I have to read the narrative on both of these before we go into executive session?
Yeah.
Okay. Item 9 in our executive session. Notice is hereby given that a closed meeting will be held pursuant to Section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code to consult with the city attorney regarding a matter in which the duty of the attorney under the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct of the State Bar of Texas clearly conflicts with the Open Meetings Provisions of Open Meetings Act. You can see why I didn't want to have to read. Item number 10. Notice is hereby given that the City Council will go into executive session in accordance with Texas Government Code 551.074 to deliberate the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of Adam Nylett, a city officer or employee. I'll close the open session now at 6:41 and open the executive session. Thank you. 7:54 p.m. and opening up our regular open meeting. All right, item number 11 is the city manager's report. These are updates that can be provided regarding city services. Mr. Manager, any updates?
The only one, Mondays is city holiday, and so normal offices will be closed, but the police and fire will be working full staffing.
Okay, great. That's President's Day. All righty. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Item number 12, city council reports. Any reports to give?
Our last parks meeting did not make quorum, but our staff liaison has reached out to all of the members, and we will have quorum on February 22nd. So that is going to be rescheduled for February 22nd at 5:30.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
We will have a P&Z meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Keeston.
Can I say something?
You can.
Mayor, so I know that we have to be careful with a quorum for the P&Z. I'm just going to put this out there. I would like to go to one, mm-hmm. but every time I want to go to one, everybody else is there. And so I'm like, I hear people say, well, I'm going to be there, so I don't go. But I would like to go
can
to
you,
one.
Can you call?
Yeah, or I can just post it as a potential of a quorum of council being there. Is that correct, Mr. Shaw?
You could.
That's the only tripwire. So, do you want to do this as a standing?
No, not necessarily, because I don't think I need to be here every last one of them.
Right. Tomorrow's going
to
be a short one.
We can't do it. We can't do it for tomorrow because it won't send me to our notes. But
yeah, that's fine.
We can just start footnoting that with potential accounts.
Do it as a dual.
Yeah.
Do it. Meeting of the P&Z and a potential meeting of quorum of the city council.
And so, just putting my old hat on from previous experience, so somebody there would start the P&Z and then somebody would start the council meeting?
I don't think
is that how you want it?
I don't think you need to do that.
Okay.
As long as the council's not going to participate, as long as there's, you know, you're just notifying that a quorum may be present.
Okay.
There'll be no business or anything.
Right. I mean, if the council were to break into discussion on topics, I think that would be a
we never,
problem.
Never talk about it. We just watch it to see, like, the situation we had today.
Right. If you're there to observe and then come in here in this setting and discuss, no problem.
Just okay.
The risk you run, and this is the caution I'd say, is to have a quorum there, and as you're walking out,
everybody's
talking about it. So just, you know, guard yourselves against that. And,
good point. Thank you.
We'll take
this answer. Yes. Great.
Thank you.
Mr. Manager, I also was wondering if you could commend the Arboretum staff for a wonderful father-daughter dance that they did this past weekend.
I sure will.
If you could pass that along. They did a wonderful job.
Adam, what's up over there?
I did. My boogie, if you will. But thank you. If you could pass that on to them, I'd really appreciate it. They did a fantastic job. Those guys know how to throw a party, by the way. They do an incredible job. Okay, if there's no other reports, I will consider a motion on adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you all. Closing at 7:15.
Y'all have a good week.